few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to fill these pew pads out. Give us your name, your contact information. Check the appropriate boxes and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We certainly appreciate you doing this. We do ask, once it gets down to the end of the pew and everybody's had a chance to fill it out, if you could send it back to where it got started today, we would appreciate that. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for that. I need to say apology to the Grogan family. Last week we got so excited passing out the white Christmas gifts that I forgot to thank them. I want to say thank you to the Grogan family for putting together those white Christmas treat bags that went to all of our children. They were gone fast. So very thankful. So we want to appreciate them and how they give year after year after year to all of our children and our teenagers. So thank you to the Grogan family for that. Few announcements we'll make as we get started with worship today. We are having children's time, so kids, you can come down here right after that first hymn to see me for just a moment. Also, today continues our offering for Lottie Moon and CBF Global Missions. We have a goal of $25,000. See the candles behind me. You'll see that there are two that are lit. We have $13,000 towards our goal of $25,000. So we appreciate all those who have given, and we know that that more will be coming, and we appreciate that. Reminder to our teenagers, we are having our progressive dinner tonight. Meet here at church at 5 o'clock, and we'll be back here at 9. Let's see. Any other announcements? We have a brand new baby. Beautiful. London Grace Bonner was born this week. You see the rose over here. She is a beautiful baby girl, 6 pounds, 5 ounces, as I remember. And Angie is doing well. Jason is loving every minute of it. And the two big brothers are very excited. They may not be getting a lot of sleep right now, but they are very excited for London to be here. So we ask that you send words of congratulations and prayers to them as they're making adjustments for the little one. So, any other announcements? Yes. We do have our Christmas Eve service tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you make note of that at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and the rest of the schedule is listed there. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate you giving us your information already on the pew pad. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something to you. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They'd like to recognize you. So if you just raise your hand, if you're a guest, right where you are, they will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the history of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. Thank you for being a part of worship this day. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and as is something we love to do at the beginning of worship is during Advent is the lighting of the Advent wreath, and I'll invite the Heinsley family to come.
Psalm 118, 1 through 4. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. The Lord is God, and he made his light shine upon us with boughs in his hand. Join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Will you pray with me? God, it's hard for us to imagine what it was like the night that Jesus was born. I can only imagine the sounds, the things that were happening all around, the busyness of Bethlehem. In the midst of that chaos, you came down. In the stillness of that moment, we saw your love born on earth. Father, as we consider the chaos of our own world, the questions that remain without answers, the problems that we face, remind us that just like that night, when you had in mind how to save the world. You have in mind a plan for us. That is our hope. That is our purpose. As we come to celebrate the coming of Jesus, may you be glorified and may you be honored. Speak to us in the still, small voice of our soul as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite all the kids, come on down. Perfect timing, Caleb. Perfect timing. Come on down. It's too far. No, Caleb, that's all right. Take a seat. You know, Santa Claus is still watching. All right. That's right. You got, hey, girls. You come on. All right. I'm so glad. There they come. Come sit down. Crisscross applesauce right there. Right there. Right behind, there you go, right behind Bryson, there you go. All right. We're going to see how good y'all can be today. Because I have something, well, we'll see. We'll see if you grab or you don't listen. Okay, do you know where the candy came from? Anybody know?
Your pocket.
My pocket, okay. Caleb's not getting any more candy. All right. Actually, back the first time we have any inkling of where the candy came from was actually it was a stick. And a guy back in the 1600s, guess what? He was trying to get the children to behave during the living nativity. Can you imagine children not behaving during the have you ever seen children not behaving at church before? All right. So he decided there needed to be something to get the kids to focus a little bit. And so he came up with this candy, and he actually made it into a stick. Okay? And he gave it to the kids so they could focus during church. All right? There wasn't a whole lot of sugar during those candy canes, I'm guessing. But what happened then later on in the 1900s, we started seeing candy canes appearing in America. And then one day, there was a man who really liked candy canes, and he decided to put a hook in them like this so that they would hang on the tree, all right? So they could use that to decorate. But what else does it look like? Does it remind you kind of a staff, a shepherd's staff? Yeah, it reminds us of that. Okay, what else, Avi? No, we're not going to hit people with it. And that's I get two extra candy canes, Caleb's and Avi's. That's good. All right, so, but then what happened is one day, they kept one guy, he loved making candy canes, but he kept breaking them when he tried to put this bend in them. And then a priest actually came up with the machine to make the hook. And so ever since then, they became one of the most popular things around Christmas time. You can put them on your tree. You can eat them. You can give them away as presents. This is a great, great thing. But as we talked about early, it looks like a shepherd, right? A shepherd's hook, a shepherd's staff. This Christmas, I want you to remember, no matter what happens, what you get on Christmas morning, that it's not about the presents you and I get. It's not even about the presents that you and I give to other people. What's Christmas about? About Jesus. When I'm going to give you one of these, okay, you can take them back to your seats, or I will give them to you as you leave here. Now don't eat them until you get home, okay? Oh, man. Okay? But I want you to remember, when you see this hook, you remember that Jesus is our shepherd. He came to earth to show us the way. That's why we remember Christmas. Okay? Will you pray with me? God, we love you, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus. And Father, looking at so many things around the sanctuary, we can see things that remind us of you, including these candy canes. Help us to remember it's all about you this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I will pass them out. Everybody gets one. There you go. There you go. There you go, girls. You can have one for your little sister. That's very sweet. There you go. Okay, when you get one, you go back to your seat. There you go. Good job. Good job.
I can't believe the kids stayed for the bells, but they're leaving before the sermon. I don't know. I thought we were raising our kids better than that. Up close and in person. It could easily have been titled Up Close and in a Person. But, you know, take either wording. This morning we're going to be reading from the first chapter of John, the first 14 verses. So I invite you to join with me. We're reading that together. And while you're turning there, I want to thank William Mangrum and my former professor, Charles Talbert, for inspiration and information regarding this morning's message. And for those of you that knew Dr. Talbert, I ask that you remember him in your prayers. I understand he is having some health concerns. So those of you who know him, and even if you didn't, Charles Talbert is a good friend and quite an inspirational man who touched so many lives here at Wake Forest as well as at Baylor University. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among them. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. A few years ago, there was a popular song that proclaimed God is watching us. Well-known singers such as Bette Midler, Nancy Griffith, Kathy Mattea all offered kind of renditions of this song, and the title of the song is From a Distance. You remember the song? How many of you remember the song? Now you do. Thank you. Yeah. Perhaps you recall that the lyrics of this song spoke of beautiful snow-capped mountains, lush green forests, deep blue waters encircling the globe. And this view, the songwriter tells us, is of our planet from space. It's the view from a distance, okay? Such the title. You know, such is God's perspective of this little terrestrial ball we live on, because God supposedly lives at an immense distance from us. In case you don't know the song, Mr. Soundman is going to play just a little clip from it. Aren't you, Barry? Awkward pause. Just push pause. We'll get back to you. All right? So the song has this premise of what's going on from a distance, and how God sees us from a distance. Now, compare that and contrast that with what's going on up close and impersonal. Okay? Think about the reality down here on earth. It's a little bit different from the way they describe the beautiful snow-capped mountains and green lush forests sometimes, isn't it? You know, the snow caps are melting for whatever reason you may want to believe. You know, the forests are decimated. There's hundreds of mammals and reptile and insect species that are endangered. The streams, the rivers, the seas, they're polluted. And we humans reserve our greatest powers of ingenuity and creativity for humiliating other human beings. You know, so when viewed up close and personal, our world is a little bit messier, more messy than perhaps the song would lead us to believe. The song appeals to God's view of us. You know, and it's pretty from a distance. When viewed from a distance, it's neat, it's tidy. When viewed from a distance, we're one. Everyone is together in their purpose. There's no one that's in need. The harmony echoes throughout the land, and God dwells abundantly in every home. That's You know, if only we could see ourselves the way God sees us, the premise is that all wars would immediately cease, enemies would become best friends, a noble character of humanity would shine undimmed in every endeavor, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. That's kind of the premise. And if only we could see ourselves as God sees us, then we would desire to be different. Now, it's an okay song. Don't get me wrong. It's an okay song. In fact, it reminds me a little bit of the Apostle Paul when he was addressing the church at Philippi. He urges them on to repentance. He urges them to change. He urges them to embrace holy living, even as he tells them, the Lord is near. Why do you embrace holy living? Because the Lord is near. That was his premise. So obviously, both the Apostle Paul and Julie Gold, who was the songwriter, hold belief that God can be a powerful and should be a powerful motivator of human transformation, human change. However, for the songwriter, we must climb out of this hole that we're in because God is up there somewhere looking down. So the song, in effect, suggests that God really can't save us. We've got to do that ourselves. We're the ones that have to do the changing. We're the one that should be the peacemakers, the forgivers, the healing, and the saving is our work and our work alone. Now, there's aspects of what they advocate that are certainly true, but the bottom line, the saving is our work, I'm not sure about that. You see, the Apostle Paul was concerned about the gap between humans and God also. However, unlike the song, the unified thrust of all of Scripture is this. The gap is closing between us and God, but it's closing from God's side. It's closing from God's side. God is coming closer. God is coming near. Paul motivated real substantive change. He said, you know, here's some things that really need to change among our congregation as he wrote to the church at Philippi. And God's increasing nearness is not because we've climbed up, but it's because God has come down. God has come near. John the Baptist, in the tradition of the prophet Isaiah, appealed to God's proximity to humankind, to God's eventual and certain coming. And as a way of urging human beings to live justly and to live mercifully with each other, John the Baptist declared, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. God is coming," John announced, "and in that day all flesh shall see the salvation of God." In fact, in today's lesson from the Gospel of John, we are told that God is not content to watch from a distance. He's not content to watch as we go on kind of bungling creation and hurting each other. He's not content for that. Rather, the text is pretty clear. It says, God is coming. God is coming for us. The gap is closing. And the motivation for that is what? Love. We lit the candle of love. Scripture tells us in the passage that was read from John 3, for God so... It wasn't that he ran out of things to do. That was the plan from the beginning. God so loved that he sent. God so loved that he became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, to be certain, there is a bit of a distance. If you think about it, we are not and never will be the creator, will we? We are the creation. God is the creator. His ways are not like our ways. We are the creation. We are the stuff of humankind. He is the creator. And this distance, if you will, between us and God is grand and infinite in an eternal sense. But in looking at the difference, we may assume that the gap is insurmountable, that it's unbridgeable. But this fourth Sunday of Advent, I want you to understand, I want to proclaim to you the good news that this gap has been breached. On Christmas, God rushed into the world to meet us. On Christmas, soaked in sweat and covered with straw, Mary birthed God for us. On Christmas, God traversed a great distance and he came home. On Christmas, God arrived up close and impersonal, infinite, almighty creator, in human form. And that blows my mind. How God would become flesh here in this messy world. On Christmas, God took up flesh and he came here. On Christmas Day, the Word became a human being and lived here with us. Or as other translations say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling here, dwelt here. You see, in light of Christmas morning, we can tell the truth. When you wake up Christmas morning, remind yourself of this truth. Once our King lived in a far land away, darkness fell upon the land, though from a distance our King watched over us while others ruled, but from the very beginning the King always intended to return. And as time passed, our King sent messengers to announce the impending arrival, but the messengers were met with mockery and scorn. People threw rocks at him, people put him to death, and most of us really just kind of ignored the announcement. But yet our King still approached and would not relent on his plans to rule, to restore the glories of his kingdom. That's the truth. And on Christmas Day, our King returned. Now that our King is no longer out there, but here, next to you, next to me, our King no longer watches from a distance, but has come to live with us, to dwell with us. And understand, this is not just a visit. He came to be with us. Our King has returned. For God so that in Jesus Christ, God lives up close and in a person. Amen.
bow with me in prayer. Holy Father, with all the hustle and bustle of this season, all the cooking and traveling and buying and wrapping of gifts and so on, we tend to forget about the focus. But as Raymond reminded us, Father, please, we thank you so much for your gift of that tiny, fragile baby, that helpless baby that came as our Savior. That is the most special and precious and everlasting gift we could ever imagine, even beyond our imagination, Father. Father, help us to be generous with our gifts now as we give back a portion of all the benefits and blessings you've given to us. Bless each gift and each giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Bethlehem, love has come down to earth. Angels are singing of a baby's birth. Lowly the cattle stall, rough is the manger bed where our sweet Jesus laid down his dear head.
Somewhere on nearby hills, lit by a radiant light, shepherds behold an amazing sight.
Choirs of angels sing, glory to God above, singing their praises for God's gift of love. To Bethlehem, run to see the child lying in a manger, so meek and so mild. Somewhere a mother sings, sweet is her lullaby.
Savior was born, and that elicits a response of some kind by us. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you reject Him? That's really the only two options. Either you accept the nature of the gift, or you refuse to accept the gift. This morning, I can't think of a better time than to accept that gift. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the morning for you to do so. I say that with all confidence because I know the power of the Holy Spirit is at work here this morning, leading you, drawing you to Jesus Christ. And if that is your story, if that is where you are in life, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to talk with you. Certainly you can catch me afterwards. You can call me this week, whatever time, place, I'll be glad to talk with you because that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. But if you want to settle that this morning, come on down. I'll talk with you here or catch me after the service is over. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but maybe I'm not living like I should. Certainly that's something you can settle with God right where you are. Confess that to Him. He will forgive you. He's faithful. He's just. He will forgive your sins as you confess them to Him. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this congregation, I can tell you, it's an outstanding congregation. And we receive members by many ways. We'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
The path has been cleared.
invite you to remain standing for our benediction. Following our benediction, I'll ask you to be seated for response. But following that response, I encourage you to greet one another, encourage one another. I know that we have families in town, so meet other people's families and encourage them and greet them as well. I ask you to be seated now. Pardon? Oh, I will. Okay. Be seated, please. Stand for the benediction, please. I want to let you know that in the 9 o'clock service, Caleb Morris, one of our young men who's growing up in the knowledge and the admonition of the Lord, let us know that he is ready for baptism. He has accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. So now we are beginning to look forward to our baptism service the first Sunday of January, which is just in 2 weeks, and we're excited about that. So when you see Caleb, be sure and hug him and let him know how excited you are for him. Will you do that? All right, fantastic. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go from this place, help us to go knowing how much you loved us, that you loved us so much that you came to us, that you became flesh to teach us how to live, to show us through the person of Jesus Christ what it means to live a victorious life. God, we love you and we thank you for your gift and we embrace it as your children. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Greet one another.